I want to say welcome to everyone. I'm so glad that you joined us this evening. This is our podcast that we do once a month. It is on this particular Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock, and we are helping midlife women create a freestyle life. We create the freedom that they want, the lifestyle that they want to live. It's usually a four pillar type call that we do on the Wednesday. We talk about health and wellness. We talk about passive income, which oftentimes then we talk about real estate. The three of us on this call, I don't know about Elizabeth, but Mindy and Tammy and myself, we all do the real estate for passive income. And then we talk about writing, writing as in either journaling, blogging, writing memoirs, writing your legacy, which then brings us to the final pillar, which is legacy. What For midlife women, what legacy are you leaving behind? And so, before we get started, I just want to say that we're missing Andorra this evening. She had a previous commitment, and so she is not with us. And Mindy is our co-host tonight. So, welcome, Mindy. Thank you for being here. Tammy is tapping into the call tonight, all the way from Texas. And Elizabeth is our special guest this evening, and we're going to hear more from her in just a moment. So, I want to introduce Mindy. Mindy and I have been doing the coffee chat together on Thursdays. And so when I'm traveling, Mindy mans the fort over there at the Starbucks in Pickerington. It's an in-person, there she is. It's an in-person. If you say something, the camera will flash over to you, Mindy. So say something when you do that. There
Okay.
you go.
Hold down the fort.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, you're welcome to join us if you're close enough or local and you want to come to the coffee chat, the in-person coffee chat. You are welcome to do that. And we are at the Starbucks in Pickerington. And you can find everything that we're doing on my website. It's kathybinner.com. And just scroll down to the calendar of events and you'll see locations, addresses. If it's going to be virtual, you'll see the actual link to get into the virtual call. So, again, we want to talk briefly about the other pillars before we get into talking with Elizabeth. Elizabeth is our guest tonight, and we're going to be talking with her on the health and wellness portion or pillar of our call. But before that, I want to talk a little bit about passive income. Our body is the data. That is our overarching conversation for this evening is how do you feel about things? And so I want to talk about how we're feeling about even real estate. Ladies, when you get to midlife, trust your instincts. Don't feel like you have to fit somebody else's spreadsheet. You know, they say, oh, you know, I'm buying 100 doors or I want 200 doors or whatever. Well, maybe 10 doors is all you need to have the financial freedom that you need. It's different for everyone. So don't get sucked into feeling like you have to do more to try to keep up. And I get sucked into that as well. I do a lot of real estate meetups. And I see a lot of folks that are, you know, way ahead in numbers from what I'm doing. And then I start thinking, should I be doing more? Should I be buying more? But then I look in the mirror and I just have to be really honest with myself and say, you know, I just really don't want to work that hard. I'm at a stage in my life right now where I don't want to work that hard. I just got back from Florida and Tammy and I were just talking about doing some travels and you know, it's kind of fun to not have all of those requirements kind of on your shoulders, all of that mental load, you know, where you have to keep track of everything that's going on when you're doing all these deals. Now, don't get me wrong, I love real estate, and if somebody's going to give something away, I'm going to have to do my part. I can't pass up a really good deal. If the numbers work, I'm going to have to do it. But I'm not, and again, I like to look because it's a hobby, but I don't have an urgency. Like some folks that say, oh, I want to get one more by the end of July or something. I don't have any of that feeling. And even now, I think it has a lot to do with what stage of life that you're in. If I were in my 30s or 40s or even 50s, and I could even say, even if I were in my early 60s, I might feel differently about taking on more real estate than I do. I'll be 70 this coming birthday. And so, one of the things that I have to ask myself, which is why I think the season of life that you're in makes a difference, is if I got a mortgage right now, oftentimes it's a 15 or 20 year note on a commercial investment property. How old am I going to be in 15 or 20 years? Do I, you know, do I want a cash flow now. I don't need to wait 20 years when, when I'm 90 to say, yay, my mortgage is paid off. Now I'm cash flowing. So I want a cash flow now in my 70s, not in my 90s. I want a cash flow then too, but I want a cash flow now. I don't want to, and I was married to Dan way back in the day. And his mom was an entrepreneurial spirit and had her own business. And I remember very clearly, I was very young at the time, just a teenager out of high school. And I started working at her company. And I remember her saying, "What's the point in spending a thousand to make a thousand? You know, what's the point in spending a thousand to make a thousand?" And so I think as you get older, it's great when you're younger where you can see it. There's a light at the end of that tunnel. That mortgage is going to get paid off, and then it's going to be a nice monthly income for me. And I did that for my retirement. But now that I am retired, I look at some of those notes and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm probably better off to pay off a note or two and increase my cash flow that way than I am to add more notes and have them cash flow 20 years down the road. Because if I took some of my current cash and paid off a couple of notes, especially, and again, if you're into real estate, if you're on a variable rate, like a 5-year renewable term rate, that 5% is now 8%. You know, so you have to ask yourself, it looked great when you got into the loan at 5%. But since you were on a 5-year variable, now 5 years later, rates have gone up. And so now maybe it jumped to 8%. And so the question is, at 8%, I'm paying 8% on a note here and I'm making 2% on a CD over here. So I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to make 2%. Oh, I can move my CD and make 4%. Well, I'm still paying 8% over here on this mortgage. So maybe, because of the season of life that I'm in, maybe it's to my advantage to take that CD and pay off that mortgage. And it'll actually be to my advantage financially in the cash flow. So anyway, that's all I'm saying for passive income is the best deal is the one that actually fits your lifestyle. Don't get sucked into what is the best deal for everyone else. And it's not someone else's spreadsheet. Is not how you're going to base your decisions. So you have to look at your own finances and just listen to your gut. Just really say, do I really want to work that hard? And I'm going to tell on Andorra a little bit since, especially since she's not here, I get to tell on her. She called me one day and she was all excited and she goes, "Oh," she goes, I want to buy this property and I'm going to open a little boutique hotel." And I said, "Oh, that sounds great." I said, and she goes, "Did you want to partner with me?" And I'm like, "No." And she's like, "Why?" She says, "It would be great." And I said, "Do you really want to work that hard?" I said, and she goes, "What do you mean?" And I said, "While I'm traveling, because I want to travel, we've done some Europe trips, I want to do some more Europe trips." I said, "While I'm traveling in Europe," I said, "you're going to be back home running the boutique hotel." And I said, "Would you rather do that, or would you rather be on the trip with me?" And she was like, "Oh." And I said, "It's a lot of work." And I said, "You still have to manage it. And even if you hire it done, you still have the mental load of, did they get the cleaning done? Is the guest happy? Did that last shipment that I ordered show up?" And you still have to manage that. And the more that you want to retire, the more frustrating those kinds of managements are, because again, it's that mental load. You just have to keep, you don't truly get to enjoy your vacations because again, you're making sure that everything back home is taken care of. So, anybody on the call so far agree with me on that? Yes. I saw Tammy shaking her head a little bit there. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Tammy, what do you think? Tammy's got some property. She handed some of hers over to a management company.
Well, we just started 5 years ago, and I, like you said, I thought, oh, all the experts say I need 20 units or 50 units or something, and we're at 10. And I wanted to retire, and so we've handed it over to a property manager. And yeah, now it's a I'm learning to manage the manager. So it's
Which is still a mental load, but a whole lot less than managing
right.
properties.
That's
Yes.
what I was going to say. It's still work, but it's not as much work as dealing with 10 separate tenants.
Exactly. And so now imagine having a boutique, little boutique hotel where you might have 50 rooms, and now you've got 50 tenants every night that you're dealing with. So, yeah. So, anyway, you have to do what's right for you, for what fits your lifestyle, your personality, where you are in life. And I think age plays, a piece of that. So anyway, so those that are listening and coming in and listening to the replay, just know that listen to your intuition because you are smart enough to know what's best for you. Okay, we're all there. We all know what's best for each of us within our own worlds. So now let's switch and talk about one of the other pillars about writing. And a lot of folks are like, "Oh, I'm not a writer." Well, there's all kinds of writing. And I want to talk just briefly about journaling. Now, I don't know about you, but some folks don't. They really don't know what they're thinking until they either talk it out or write it out or whatever. They have a hard time really understanding what they're feeling emotionally or whatever. So I am a proponent of journaling because a lot of times if you journal and just take the lid off, if you will, just write like no one's going to read it and just journal, a lot of times things will come out that you'll go, "Oh, didn't know I felt that way. That's interesting." And so what happens when you can do some of that unedited journaling, I think it gives you some insight as into your own authenticity. And so now you can go back and make better decisions in that passive income piece or in the health and wellness piece or whatever, because now I think you have a better idea of what is really going on internally in your mind and emotionally and how you feel about things. And I think that intuition comes to surface. So I know Elizabeth is a writer because we're going to talk about her book tonight. Does anybody else on the call journal? Do we have any journalers on the call? Yeah, Elizabeth, do you journal?
I do. I tend to not keep them though. I'll write and I'll get rid of it, like burn it or rip it up or
Okay, but you're getting it out, and have you had some major ahas by doing that? Have you read it and thought, "Oh, that's interesting that I feel this way."
Yeah, there's a lovely practice one of my teachers shared with me, a yoga teacher, that you write with your non-dominant hand and stuff comes out that maybe wouldn't come, you're thinking so much with your dominant hand, but it accesses a different part of the brain. When you write with the non, you give it to the other hand to write.
Interesting. I'll have to do a little research on that and try that. That's very interesting. And for me, I love the technology that we have today, and so I have a tendency to talk into an app or into my Google Docs or whatever. I have a tendency to talk, and so what I do to feel more like I'm going inward instead of outward is that I have to close my eyes, kind of shut the world out, so to speak. And then I can really kind of, as they say, get into my head and just talk about how I'm really feeling about something, even if I'm angry or frustrated or whatever I feel, and getting that out into a journal entry. And then I like to let it get cold, go take a break, take a walk, whatever. And then when I come back and read it, it's kind of like, "Wow, that was a little angry. I wonder where that came from." Or, "That was a little dark. I wonder what's going on here. Let me sit with that for a minute and think about what's really happening, what really made me feel that way." And so it does help. And once you know the real you, which so many of us really don't even know, let alone know our spouses or friends or family, but know ourselves. There are many of us that really don't even know ourselves that well. So how can you make decisions on your health and on your passive income and on your legacy if you really don't even know yourself and you're kind of trying to live up to what other people expect of you? And you really don't know where you fit in, per se, your authentic self. So anyhow, so I'm a very, very strong about journaling. And so for those that are listening, give it a try, you know, and connect with me at KathyBenner.com. Let me know what you think. There's a button there on KathyBenner.com where you can have a chat with me anytime that you'd like. And at last but not least, before we talk to Elizabeth, is legacy. Again, I think as we get older, we start to think about what are we going to leave and in what form or how is somebody going to know that we had been here? You know, how's anybody, what are they going to think? How are they going to know? And I believe that one of the best ways that we can leave something behind that kind of lives on is writing a book, writing a memoir, or just writing a book about something that we're passionate about. And having our name on it, because I have Mark's dad's book. He wrote a book before he passed, and I have, and it's one of my prized possessions because I saw how much time and effort and energy and of himself that he put into that book, and it just represents everything about him. And so that's one, again, it's one of my prized possessions is having that book that he wrote. So I think that's something we all can do, especially today. Everybody can get published. It doesn't have to be perfect. Of course, you know, you don't want to look, I always say I need an editor because I can look like a country bumpkin all by myself. So I need an editor to make me not look like such a country bumpkin. But anyway, everybody can write and you can, even if you just publish snippets, even if you just do a blog, you know, you could do a cooking blog, you could be a homesteading blog, you could do a sewing blog, you could do a hiking, a traveling, a lifestyle. There's all kinds of blogging you can do. And that's really pretty simple. And I teach a whole blogging class and I tell all of my bloggers, don't make it more complicated than it is. All that a blog is a 3-page website, and you can, you know, get free websites. You know, you go to GoDaddy and get your domain and write on GoDaddy. You can make a 1 or 2 or 3 page website very inexpensively. And all you're going to do is just upload your blogs. You're just going to post your blogs on there and then share it on your social media if you want to. You don't even have to. And you can have a blog because it'll show up online if you publish it. And again, you can write a blog and you don't even have to publish it. You can wait and let your kids publish it someday or whatever, or not publish it. It's a good way to go back and revisit a little bit about your life. So do we have any bloggers on the call? Yes. Anybody think about having a blog?
No, because I'd be afraid somebody'd find it and read it.
Well, you don't have to like bury your soul in a blog. It can, like I said, it could be a travel blog. It could be a lifestyle blog. It could be, you know, a cooking blog or a sewing blog or whatever your interest is, whatever it is that you just want to share. And so when we look things up and we go, oh, I need information about this or that. Oftentimes when we look up and we find these articles, oftentimes it's a blog post that somebody's made, and that's where we get the information, and we take it as you know, oh my gosh, I read this, it must be true. So again, we have to kind of, you know, weigh all of that to make sure it is. But the point is that it does put your name out there. If you want your name to be out there, it does put you out there, and that could be a nice legacy. So the writing, I just think some form of writing is a great legacy tool. Okay, so with all of that, we are going to move on to the health piece, which is I'm most excited about because I'm a firm believer that health comes before wealth. You have to have your health before you can worry about the passive income and the writing and the legacy and all of that. And I ran across the Dalai Lama had several different quotes, but I ran across a Dalai Lama quote, and I can't quote it verbatim, but the quote was along the line of that man works all his life to make money, and then he spends all and loses his health. He just works so hard that he loses his health to make this money, and then he spends all the money to try to buy his health back. And that really hit home with me. And so, and I was doing that, you gals that know me, I was working in the salon 10-hour days, you know, the doctor was talking all these surgeries, I was freaking out. The doctor finally said, wouldn't it be a novel idea if you quit right before I cut you all up instead of right after? Because he said, right after you have all these surgeries, he says, you're not going to be working in the salon, you're going to be trying to recuperate from the surgeries. And he said, if you quit now, you might avoid the surgeries. And I thought, that's a novel idea. Well, I still worked 2 more years after he told me that. I pushed through.
You froze.
Retired. I had to actually get a coach to draw a line in the sand that said, tell me. My computer's telling me my internet is, am I frozen or no? Am I still good?
Sure.
Off and on. Yeah. It just said everything was shaky there for a minute. Anyway, my coach finally said, pick a date, pick a time, and you're going to have to answer to me. And so I picked one 2 years out on purpose because I didn't feel I was ready to make that jump. But finally, when it came to it, I really was ready, and I made the leap, and I never looked back, and it was great. And so now Elizabeth, she is in an office that is in the building where my salon was. As a matter of fact, it's right where I was. So the building is very sentimental to me because that's where I worked for 25 years. And that's now where Elizabeth works, in the same building. So Elizabeth is a yoga teacher and a community leader. She's based in Central Ohio. She is the founder of Elizabeth Wood Yoga and has spent years helping individuals locally and around the world reconnect with their well-being through mindful movement. Now, I'm going to try to say this word correct. Through mindful movement, Ayurveda. Did I say that right? I did. Ayurveda and meditative practices. What is Ayurveda? I didn't know what that was.
It's the sister science of yoga. So it's kind of
okay.
Like
okay. Good to know. But I looked at the spelling and I'm like, okay, I'm going to give this a try. So Ayurveda and meditative practices. And she was honored to receive the 2025 Pillar of the Community Award. So congratulations, Elizabeth. That's a very great, big honor in Canal Winchester to be the Pillar of the Community, which is huge. So congratulations for that. She is also a contributing author in the collaborative best-selling book, The Call Within. It's a collection of transformational stories. In her chapter, In My Skin, she reflects on a pivotal moment in her own wellness journey, the physical and emotional discoveries she made along the way, and how that path led her toward joy, resilience, and purpose. Her story reflects the book's central message that transformation begins when we listen to the quiet inner call to change. And I actually have a copy of her book. Okay, The Call Within. So am I correct that it's on Amazon?
It is. It's on Amazon.
All right. So there you go. So pick up a copy, The Call Within, Finding Purpose and Sparking Transformation. So I've already read several chapters. It's very good. I love it. Elizabeth, in your chapter, The Call Within, it's titled In My Skin. Now, for those who haven't read the book, can you share what that phrase meant for you at the time and what it means to you now?
Yes. At the time, In My Skin described a place where I didn't want to be. I was not comfortable in my skin. I was feeling numb. I was feeling really disconnected from myself. And it made just being in my skin feel very difficult. And it kind of was the last place I wanted to be at the moment. And at the time, reflecting now, I was kind of my own worst enemy, and what I needed was to become my own best friend. And that was quite a journey. And maybe others can relate to this. I tended to get upset when my body wasn't doing what I thought it should be doing. It was telling me something clearly, and I didn't want to listen at the time. And I thought that I was very healthy, but however, there was room to grow. And You know, I think we see that with others too, where people are fighting their bodies or, you know, get mad, like if you get a cold or the flu and then you can't do what you were hoping to do or you have to cancel things and things like that. But now In My Skin reflects something very different. It's a sense of ease. I've cultivated a friendlier, more peaceful relationship with myself. It's more of a coming home to who I am. And I just, and maybe that comes with age as well, just being comfortable in my skin.
I love all of that. Now, your wellness journey brought some meaningful shifts in how you were living and caring for yourself. Was there a moment that you can actually describe, like a particular aha moment when you felt something calling you toward a new way of being? Did something happen that you said, I have to make a change?
Yes, I was, well, for starters, oh, my wellness journey started with not feeling very well. That was when I knew something needed to change. I was sitting in a hospital bed and there were lots of tests being taken and, you know, doctors would come in and say, well, we didn't find this scary thing or that scary thing or, you know, and it was like, wow, I didn't even know they were looking for those things. But, you know, you don't really have your freedom when you're sitting in a hospital bed. And I had a baby and a toddler at home at the time who I'm happy to say the youngest, the baby just graduated this past weekend. So what an honor to have been able to watch them grow up through the years and to have been able to take this wellness journey. But really, it was at my lowest point that the call became undeniable. And when you're furthest from your well-being, you know it's time to move toward it. And that contrast was a gift. It was clarity.
I certainly can relate to that, where I was forcing myself through my days working in the salon because my shoulder hurt so bad and my arms hurt and my neck hurt. And the doctor was talking about four or five different surgeries in order for me to be well. And so I get that. You finally look in the mirror one day and say, I've got to change something. I have to. Many people struggle silently with health issues while trying to keep it all together, just like me, just like maybe you were at the time. What did your journey teach you about the vulnerability and asking for support? I finally had to break down and I couldn't seem to move forward. I finally had to pay a coach. I don't know if it's because I paid the money that made me say I have to do what he says, but I paid a coach. I finally got a health coach.
I got a yoga teacher. And then I loved it so much, I became a yoga teacher. But really, vulnerability is authentic. And as a recovering perfectionist, I now realize that perfectionism is not. We live in a world that often rewards the appearance of having it all together. But that's not where real well-being lives. You know, we're humans, we're not robots. We're not, you know, what is perfect anyways? We can't be perfect. It's just not possible. It's not authentic. And asking for support isn't weakness. It's really an essential part of your journey. It's really important to have a self-care team, people that help you with your self-care and support you and cheer you on.
Well, how did yoga, meditation, and wellness practices become a way of life for you rather than just something you could check off your list and say, okay, now I'm well, I'm going to go back to my normal lifestyle? So how did it actually, it became a way of life? It totally changed how you viewed what you were going to do every day.
Yeah, it completely, it started out as something where I would do yoga once a week. And when I would skip my Monday night class, my family would remark, I can tell you skipped yoga this week. You know, you're a little crankier than usual. You seem so stressed out. Like you seem, you know, it was just the right thing for me. And I really had to make it a priority. Even though I resisted relaxing because I felt too stressed out to relax. Has anybody else ever felt that way where you feel too stressed out to relax? Or maybe I would tell myself one Monday night, well, I just have too much to do. So I'm going to feel stressed if I'm at yoga than if I, you know, do, you know, but if I get everything checked off the list that I need to do, I'll feel less stressed. But it actually was the case. I actually did need to go and sit in stillness and in a room full of people that were doing the same thing as me. I've come to understand that energy hygiene is as important as brushing your teeth. It's part of caring for yourself, something that you can do every day. And my personal practice is that I don't talk to people until I've meditated. So unless it's like an emergency, I can't show up as my best self and feel good if I haven't brushed my teeth, you know, if I haven't done my meditation. And these practices aren't just something that I do. It's something that it's how I live. It's what I do throughout the day. And the work is always my own work. My practice helps keep me clear and present so that I can hold space for others to do their own work.
Well, you now support people in their own yoga and wellness practices. How has your personal experience shaped the way you show up for them? And how do you hold that space?
Well, my personal experience has taught me that the most profound guidance comes from within. And so that takes some pressure off of me as the yoga teacher, that I don't have to fix things for others. It's actually better if I don't try to do that. Their work is their work. My work is my work. But I see myself as a guide who offers practices, the same kind of practices that help me learn to listen to my own body and my own intuition. And I remind my students, and this is true for everyone, you are your own best teacher. Whatever I offer from the front of the room or the side of the room or wherever I'm at teaching in the room, whatever I'm saying matters far less than what you discover within yourself. And so everybody always has permission in classes and in their practice to do what feels right. You know, if I'm saying lift your arm and take a deep breath and that doesn't feel right, don't do that. Like, don't lift your arm. Don't take a deep breath. Like, if that's not going to be helpful, like, listen to yourself. That's part of the practice. It's to be able to sit in a room where, you know, you feel like you have to do things perfectly or you have to listen to what the teacher is saying. And it's just not the case. You know, honoring your body and honoring your intuition, you know, when you do that, it strengthens over time.
Good point. I find myself a little too competitive when I get into a class with a group of people. You know, it's like, oh, I got to do it perfect, you know, because look how perfect they are all around me. Yeah, I have a tendency to be a little competitive like that. Now, I know your work bridges both professional leadership and your holistic wellness. How do those two worlds complement each other in your life?
Wellness is essential to effective leadership. It's essential to doing anything well, really. It impacts everything you do, and it's a means of freedom, as I had mentioned earlier. And, you know, because believe me, when you're sitting in a hospital bed, you don't feel free. And I joke that I still teach yoga full time. It feels like I still teach yoga full time. At least I practice it full time. It just looks a little different now. In our culture, there's a tendency to think of yoga as just bending and stretching and wearing yoga pants. And I'm feeling optimistic that's changing. Really, at its heart, yoga is about mindset and curiosity. It's this ancient system of living with ethical standards built right in how you treat yourself, how you treat others. And to me, leadership and wellness, they're not two separate worlds. They really go hand in hand.
Sometimes I feel a little disconnected. What would you tell someone who feels disconnected from themselves, either physically, emotionally, or spiritually, and they don't know where to begin? And again, if you're feeling a little insecure, again, I'm a little competitive. Showing up in a yoga class where a lot of these gals or guys and gals have been doing yoga for weeks or months or years, and if you're new, sometimes you feel totally disconnected.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Yeah, and it's okay. I mean, it's okay to start where you are. Like, you don't have to know all the things that they know. You know, often in my classes, there are people who are brand new practicing right next to somebody who's been practicing since the 1970s or something. You know, it's like, and even for myself, you know, I've been doing this a long time, since the seventh grade. I've been practicing yoga, and I'm in my 40s now. But I learn something new every time I get on the mat or every time that I practice. Really, wellness is closer than you think. You can imagine like a cloudy day, and you know that the sun is there because it's daylight. But there's, you know, it's just behind the clouds that you see. And so maybe there's some gunk in the way of feeling good or feeling at ease, that it's really not that far away. But I invite people to take a look at what they're consuming, and not just food, but also, you know, the music that they're listening to, television shows, conversations that they're having, gossip, content that you're scrolling through, because all of it affects your energy. It affects your clarity. It affects how you're feeling, your mood. You know, certain things you probably notice, you know, can get you riled up or make you feel cranky or make you feel happy or make you feel like dancing, you know. So notice how you feel when you're dancing to your favorite song, for example, that aliveness, you know, more of that, please. So considering, what am I consuming? Does it feel good? And if not, what do I want to do about that? Those are some things to consider.
Interesting. I'm going to have to journal about this. Now, in the book, The Call Within, the theme is transformation. What does transformation look like in everyday life?
Transformation isn't usually a dramatic overnight event. It's these little moments of curiosity, the tiny shifts, the little calibrations in how we think and how we respond and how we move through the world. Sometimes it's one step forward and two steps back. It's this dance that we do. And that's where the real work happens. It's not in it's in the everyday, not just in the big moments. And it's the foundation that quietly builds and shows up when those big moments arrive. And that visible transformation is a product of the tiny steps that it took to get there.
I have a whole group of yoga sisters. I have lunch with them, and I never had the opportunity to actually do yoga with them, but they all do yoga together. And I can just see a calmness in them that I don't see in other groups that I'm in. It's just a more calm group. And I don't know if that has a direct connection with their yoga practice, but I tend to think it might. Now, I know you work with people in the community in all different roles. What are some common challenges you see people facing right now when it comes to wellness, balance, and self-care? This is a big one.
It is something really common that I notice is people looking outside of themselves for answers, turning to experts, quick fixes, buying a program or a product, and in doing so, sometimes moving further away from their own intuition. Sometimes things guide us closer to it and invite us to it, but sometimes things take us further away. And it might be a dance that we do to figure out, is this helping me or is this not, you know, helping me? Is this what I want to do or not what I want to do? I also see people setting their well-being on a shelf. And that was something that I did when my kids were very young. And then I had, you know, that beginning of the wellness journey that I talk about in the book. People say that they want to wait till their kids are grown or until work slows down, until life gets easier, mm-hmm. until things get less crazy. But really, well-being is not something to earn or to schedule for later. You deserve it right now. You deserve it tomorrow. You deserve it next week. You deserve it in 5 years. You deserve it in 10 years. And it's available now in the small moments and the everyday choices.
Good to know. Looking back at a younger version of yourself who was beginning that wellness journey, what would you tell her now?
I would tell her, I love you and you've got this. And you get to see your babies grow up and it's all okay. And she didn't have all the answers and she didn't know what was ahead, but she listened and she took that first step and it made all the difference.
I love it. I love it. We're on the same page because I, and my tribe has heard me say this before, that I look in the mirror and tell myself, you are smart enough to figure it out. And because a lot of people are like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to figure it out. I just go, you're smart enough to figure it out. I tell myself that every day. You're smart enough to figure it out. And simply start. Simply start. Take the baby step. So I love that. Elizabeth, tell us and tell the listeners how they can connect with you, how they can maybe even get involved in your yoga practice with you, and what you have coming up soon.
Yeah, they can connect with me at elizabethwoodyoga.com. I typically work locally with nonprofits to offer, you know, yoga classes, workshops, retreats, sound bath offerings. And I also work privately with individuals around the world. So we can connect via Zoom, whether that's for meditation or a sound bath or for a yoga practice, and even for Ayurveda consultations as well. So if you're, you know, Ayurveda looks at, you know, how you're sleeping, how you're eating, how you're feeling, you know, the things that you're consuming, food, but mm-hmm. also other things as well. And just, and it also incorporates yoga too, and to come into balance.
What do you have coming up? Anything scheduled on the books?
Yes. So I do a monthly sound bath here locally at the community center. I have Tuesday night yoga classes at the Wagnalls Memorial in Lithopolis. I've been teaching there. I think I'm in my ninth year teaching there. And then also Saturday morning yoga in the park locally. And stay tuned for online offerings. You can sign up for my email list. And sometimes I'll do free Zoom classes and things as well.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. All right. Elizabeth, thank you so much. Mindy, Tammy, any questions or comments for Elizabeth? I know Elizabeth a little bit just from being around her, and I was excited and pleasantly surprised when we were talking about my book, and she said, I wrote a book. I'm like, what? So I was very excited to get her book and get a copy. So we traded books, and this is hers again, The Call Within. And so we traded books, and I wanted to have her on because I just truly believe in everything that she's doing. So Elizabeth, thank you so much for being here with us this evening. Any comments, Mindy, Tammy?
I think everybody feels that way. They just don't know where to start or who to work with. You know, I mean, you talk to friends, but then it's kind of like, are they judging you? Or, you know, she's nuts, which Tammy's laughing because I am. But yeah, I'm not one to write things down. I'm the person that just says it. I would probably be better at not just blurting it out if I wrote it down. But again, like you said, I don't take the time to do that. Just like,
well, but we have to be authentic too, Mindy.
Right.
And I love everything about who you are. So, don't change that.
I take notes. I write things down, but it's like, I don't write stuff down. You know, I might write down a checklist of things that I want to get done for that day, which is usually a half a dozen to two dozen things, and I usually get them done. But it's like, I feel that if I stop that, you know, I'm going to be stuck. So I just keep moving, keep going. So
now, just so everybody on the call, Mindy is a walker. Mindy, how many miles do you walk a day on an average?
Anywhere from 3 to 6. Mm-hmm. So my fiance is still diabetic, but when we met, he was a 3X and he's now down to an extra large. And he said, I can never imagine myself walking a mile, let alone 6 miles in a day. Mm-hmm. There's times that we walk, you know, 10 miles before we even realize it, you know.
Yep.
And we have a habit of, I'll wear a left earbud and he'll wear the right earbud. So if we're talking to each other, we can hear each other. But if the music picks up, then I pick up on my walking and he's like, slow down, wait, slow down. But yeah, he's lost a lot of weight. Just that. And so then it's like, I get into the mood of, okay, now I got to get rid of this and I got to get rid of that. And then I got to organize this and put this back over here. And, you know, and then I get a phone call. It's like, can you clean? Yep. So I'm just like,
Mindy,
on the go.
Mindy, yeah. For those listeners, Mindy has a cleaning business. So yeah. So if she gets called out, then she runs out to do a job or two or three or four. but yeah.
And then I still work from home because I have a full-time job. So I'm just staying busy because I've seen people that when they get older and they retire and they sit around and do nothing, then, you know, their health is even in worse condition. So I take a multivitamin. That's it. That's all I take. And I'm catching up with Kathy on the age thing there. I'm not quite there yet. I got about this much room.
And I'm trying to keep up with Mindy on the walking thing. When Mark and I went to Europe this past year, we ended up walking 70 miles. We backpacked 70 miles across London and Paris. Now, that sounds very impressive, like 70 miles. Well, we were there 14 days and we walked every day. So it comes out to about 5 miles a day. So it's not an earth shattering amount. It sounds better when you say we walk 70 miles across.
It makes a big difference. And you know it when you don't walk.
Yes.
You know it if you don't do it. So it's kind of like doing the meditation, the yoga, that kind of thing. When you don't do it, then, you know, and it helps me because I can, you know, instead of grabbing somebody and strangling them, I can walk and be done. You know what I mean? I can walk and I'm just like, okay.
You can walk it out.
Yeah. And I have to do that at work a lot because it's like everybody has their own way of doing things. And so it's rough. It's rough because you're supposed to do it this way, but they want to do it this way because he really needs help. And it's like, no. So I take a quick walk around the block and then they're looking for me. Figure it out. So,
So it's part of how you regulate your whole nervous system is in the walking.
Yes.
That's part of your regulation. I get that. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm constantly moving. If I'm sitting still, I got my foot's are going, my legs are going. It's a swinging. I'm constantly moving. You see my camera moves because my leg keeps hitting the desk and I keep moving to not hit the desk, but it goes right back to the same spot. So I could be doing 100 things at one time and I'm okay with that. But I do need to slow down. And when I walk, I take a pen and piece of paper with me. I walked to Tammy's house today and she wasn't even there. She was gone. She was in Texas. I keep an eye on her yard. I make sure the flowers are looking nice.
Good.
And
good,
they've been
good,
watered. Good. They've been watered good the last couple of days. So they're
Thank
looking
you.
Nice.
I appreciate that.
So Tammy, do you want to share?
Oh, I don't walk nearly as much as you guys do, but those of you that know me, I know that I've had both of my hips replaced. So I am not 100% recovered from that, but I'm getting there. So, and we moved to San Antonio, Texas 6 months ago. So I'm still learning what's available. But one great thing is the city of San Antonio has free exercise classes all over the city at all of their different parks and recs. So
nice.
I know a couple months ago, I started doing water aerobics twice a week at the indoor pool. So I've been enjoying that. And then David and I do get out for a walk every evening. It's usually just 10 to 20 minute walk up and down the street or around the block. But
hey,
some people don't even do that. I mean, that's still something.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I have been looking because the city does, they do everything. They do yoga and strength training and cardio and, I don't know, kickboxing and water aerobics and baseball, whatever it is you're looking for, you can find a free version of it here.
Wow, that's nice.
Of
I like
course.
The water aerobics thing. That would be fun.
Yeah, it is fun. So
good.
I've been enjoying that.
That helps with your joints too, because you're not walking on concrete and that hard walking and stuff.
Right.
I did get Andorra to slow down at the last walk we did, the 4 miler at OSU, because you know how we walk, you know, that 11 minute mile, it's like we're trucking. I mean, we're rolling. And she slowed down and walked with us. And the next day I called her and I said, how you feeling? She goes, I'm not hurting. Usually it's like my hips hurt or my knees hurt from walking, because we're walking so fast, you're hitting so hard on that concrete, you know. And she's like, I don't hurt like I did before. I said, so you need to slow down a little bit. We had to slow down so the guys didn't get lost. They were behind us.
Well, and part of it too, and Andorra has a pretty full plate, so, and she wants to get her walk in. So she has made the decision to get it done. And so that's one of the reasons that she walks so fast. I'm a lot shorter than both of you. So if I walk with you, then I have to run. I'm like, wait,
you know what? There's a couple walking clubs. I don't know if they cost anything or whatever, but they're older people and they're like in their 80s. And some of them are in their 90s and they're walking. And they're walking, they got them arms, they're just going to town, you know, and just
good.
About an hour. And it's like, and they take these little steps. And I'm like, I'd be tripping over my own feet if I took little steps like that. My legs are like, you know, I got 36 inseams. So I can't take them little tiny steps.
Yeah, you're pretty tall. How tall are you, Minnie?
The length of Kathy in 2 steps.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
Oh, okay. See, I'm only 5'3". Yeah. Yeah, it makes a difference. The stride makes a difference. So again,
my legs are 5'3".
Elizabeth is the call within. So for those that are looking and listening to the replay, get the book. It's on Amazon. Connect with Elizabeth at elizabethwoodyoga.com. You can connect with me at kathybinner.com. You see my name here in my little Hollywood square, Kathy with a K, and Binner is B-I-N-N-E-R, kathybinner.com. And schedule a chat and come on the call. We're here once a month. Don't quote me. Is it the fourth Wednesday, Mindy? The fourth Wednesday of every month. I don't want to say the last Wednesday because sometimes the month has five. So the fourth Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So mark your calendars.
It's a podcast, and you're asking me the day.
It's been one of those days. I've been in Florida for 2 weeks, so I've got my weeks all turned around. Anyway. Yeah, because I don't have to.
You didn't bring back any of that weather with you either.
I tried, let me tell you, because it was sunny every day down there. So,
Well, it's going to be
all right.
tomorrow, the rest of the
Good.
week.
Good, good, good. Okay. I know that Elizabeth is probably busy, and I know that Tammy is all the way in Texas, but are we on for coffee chat tomorrow at 4 o'clock?
I am.
Okay. So, coffee
I'm
chat in
never
person.
missing the caramel crunch. No.
Okay. All right. So we'll see everyone else that in person at the coffee chat tomorrow at 4 at Starbucks again, KathyBenner.com calendar of events. We'll tell you the address and times and all that.
Hey, when you stop recording, I'll tell you that name.
Okay. All right, folks. Thank you so much for being with us, and we will see you next time.
Done.